Hello, and welcome to the Osterman Research Podcast. My name is Michael Osterman. I'm the head of Osterman Research, and I'm here today with Robert Fleming, founder and president of Black Square Technologies. Robert, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here, Mike, and thanks for having me back.
Well, thanks again for coming back. We're going to be talking today about Zoom and other video conferencing technologies that have become very popular over the past couple of months. Zoom's daily active user count, for example, jumped from 10 million to over 200 million in just a three-month period. So we've heard a lot about the risks of security in Zoom and maybe other video conferencing technologies. Just how serious do you think these risks really are, Robert?
Well, so great question, Mike. If you don't mind, let me see if I can provide a bit of an update on Zoom. We learned over time that Zoom has done a number of things that are inconsistent with what they publish in terms of how they feel their technology is and their features are. For example, we've learned that Zoom sends user data through servers based in China. We've learned that its video chats have been left open to random attacks and don't offer end-to-end encryption. In fact, no video conferencing tool today offers end-to-end encryption for a number of reasons. We've learned that the app's attention tracking feature has been shown to bypass browser security. We've learned that the iOS app has been found to share data with Facebook, even if users don't have a Facebook account. We've learned that vulnerabilities have been shown to reveal users' Windows login information. And we've learned that encryption has proven to be what we might call inconsistent or not there at all. And Zoom purposely inflates claims of strong security measures being in place. So from a conclusion, we could say Zoom is positively teeming with security flaws. We've noticed in the last couple of weeks, there's a lot of flack and concern about Zoom. So the company is now actively looking into security reports and making changes to the software and improving their encryption structure to use GCM, which is a standard for video streaming. All these new changes that we've heard about are due to take place by the end of June of this year. The question is it secure? Well, it's very difficult to tell how far reaching these changes will be if they actually get implemented, because we've heard from Zoom in the past and some of the promises that they've made online or on their website have never come to pass. So all that being said, Mike, the question is to the user is, if you trust Zoom, do you believe the changes will be made? And will those changes affect your level of security? Who's going to oversee these changes? And will those changes automatically improve Zoom security when the company's stance in the past suggests that security was never a real concern? So that's a lot to absorb, but the value is, if you believe something is secure, how do you know it? And from past conversations, we've talked before, my philosophy is you're secure until you're not secure, when you know you're not secure. So what do you do in the meantime? Who do you trust? In my humble opinion, you might want to look at other reputable, high-quality browsers and video conferencing tools out there, and there are a number of them.
Okay, very good. Some great questions. So do you think that Zoom is taking security seriously enough? I mean, certainly they say they are, but ultimately, do you think that what they're doing is going to be effective at really improving the security of their platform?
Only time will tell. They say that they have a deadline of end of June 2020 to improve their security. They've already started to implement through Alex Stamos and some other folks GCM encryption, which wasn't there before. But remember, in a video conferencing world, there is no such thing as end-to-end encryption. There is no E2E. So it is what it is. And if you're using it to have fun and play, just be prepared that you've make sure that you've followed the instructions that are out there today to secure your Zoom tool on your computer, whether it's Windows or Mac.
So how can Zoom users really protect themselves? What would you recommend that Zoom users do, and especially corporate IT departments, how would you recommend that they protect their Zoom users?
So that's a sensitive area for corporate IT. If I were corporate IT, I wouldn't be using a product like this one, like Zoom right now. I'd stick with the more secure or the more reputable firms like, for example, you might use GoToMeeting, you might use WebEx, you might use Microsoft Teams, you could use Google Hangouts, just ensure that there's some form of a two-factor authentication in play. Just protect yourself.
How much more secure do you think Zoom is today than it was just a couple of months ago, based on what Zoom has done so far?
Well, talk is wonderful. But we've seen history on Zoom's website that they've talked a lot, and we haven't really seen any action yet. And if you go back to the interviews that you had that we've had with the founder and CEO of the company, there are a number of inconsistencies. Originally, way back when, he said, "I don't think we need any form of encryption or security. It's just a tool." So, depending on how you believe that, or how you look at that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So what do you think a company really has to do, speaking generically here, what does a company have to do to enable their users now working from home to actually be more secure working from home?
So that's a great switch, great segue. If you're a large company and you have a couple of options, really. I've worked for large companies where they would provide us their own hardware, and they'd provide assistance on selecting a secure VPN service. It may be in-house, it may be out-of-house. The other alternative is that you're working from home on a non-company provided piece of hardware, and you're also using a non-company provided a VPN service selection. So, if you're using something like that, now IT has to be creating an extra barrier to entry from your computer without knowing what's on your computer, what infections you might have running around in your system. And their idea is to try and minimize the number of infections that would get through your computer into the VPN or into the downstream network to protect it. So a lot going on out there. And this is a really big challenge for large companies. If you're more than 4,000 or 5,000 users, as an example, you might want to find a way to protect that by writing better policy, or by writing it, whatever the policy happens to be, improving it, and then somehow making sure that users know they need to be following that policy, which would include, for example, more frequent change of passwords for your computer, for your VPN, for your router, just to try and secure the network a little bit better.
How effective, looking at password protection and so forth, how often do you think people should change passwords? And what are your thoughts on sort of policies around, changing passwords, requiring users to do that kind of thing?
So I'll take the last part of that first, if you don't mind. A number of companies, including a lot of apps that we use, for our bank accounts and so on, they'll send you a note saying your password is going to expire. It's mandatory that you change. Now we have to verify that the email is real, and we can go in and change those passwords based on that ticking or that tickler on the calendar. The data shows that the average computer user in America changes passwords on his accounts once every 7 years. So I'd recommend that we shorten that time frame significantly. In our company, we change passwords within weeks. So unfortunately, we have a lot of accounts to manage and a lot of password activity. So every Saturday, everybody hates me for changing passwords.
Interesting. What do you think about the use of password management software?
So again, if we double back to my statement, it's secure until it's not secure. Password management tools are great until they're not secure. If I can gain access to that piece of credential that you have hidden somewhere, I can now become you, and I can infiltrate your password management software application. So yeah, very good generally point. Speaking, they're great tools until they're not great.
Very good. Well, Robert, I thank you very much for your time. It's been great talking with you, and thank you for sharing your insights.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
That wraps up today's podcast. We'll look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks so much.